You and I have been given an incredible gift. We were just given a brand new year. Ah, yeah. Whoa. I hope you cheer more than that. I mean, woohoo! Woohoo! Yeah. You know, 525,600 brand new, unopened, unlived minutes. 525,600 potential miracles. I mean, how much better can it get? Now, you've already lived one day, 1,440 minutes, but who's counting? And that's just as of midnight. You've added a few more since then. But how did you spend them? How have you spent your first day of this brand new year already? Did you kind of just go through it unconsciously? Or did you, you know, have a really conscious revelation yesterday about what direction your life is going to go in? Because, you know, to the extent that we can stay awake, to the extent that we can put behind us, you know, all of the illusions that have trapped us into thinking that we are less than the beloved, that we are less than a co-creator with God, you know, to the extent that we can wake up, we have 525,600 moments of choice. And the thing that you need to know about choice is it's a function of awareness and willingness. Awareness and willingness. You know, because if you're not aware that you can choose, some of us don't think we do. You choose everything. And if we're not aware that our thoughts create and they're always creating, then we will continue to go sleeping through life. And we, you know, instead of actually knowing that we create our challenging and difficult moments, we do that. We choose to create those moments. They don't just happen, but we choose. And so this gift is given to us unwrapped. And if you are willing, if you are absolutely willing right here and right now to plant new seeds, to take all the spiritual tools that you know how to use and use them, if you're willing to do that, then this time next year, you will have a greater awareness that you are actually living in heaven. It's here. You don't have to wait for it. It's right here. And you will know that every moment you can choose, not just in 2011, but every moment you can choose to live in heaven. And so as I was thinking about these 525,600 potential miracles and these 525,600 moments of choice, I began to imagine a gift bag. And you know how, you know, sometimes we go to conferences and you get these little gift bags full of wonderful things. Well, I think God has a gift bag for us too. And so we have our little gift bag from God here. And, you know, what do you suppose would be in a gift bag from God? Well, the first thing that's in this gift bag is a book reminding us to keep on our spiritual journey, to take classes, to read, to keep our spiritual awareness and it going, to increase it. Not just vegetate, but read. And this just happens to be the five principles, which is a series that I'm going to start next Sunday on the five principles of unity. And if you've been here for a while, it'll be a great review. If you just knew, it'll give you a chance to get used to what it is we believe here in unity. But I thought this was a good way for you to kind of get also my take and point of view on the five principles of unity. But this reminds us to keep going in our spiritual life. Another thing that I think would be in a gift bag from God would be chimes. Just to remind us to meditate, to stop, and just take a moment to spend in prayer, connecting to your source, being in that energy of the infinite love intelligence of the universe, remembering who you are. We need to take that time. So I think God would want us to have a reminder to take that time. I love this one. Bubble bath. It reminds us to stop and chill out, to take care of ourselves, to relax, to not get so stressed out. Because you're of no earthly good if you go on stress all the time. So you want to be reminded. Take some time for yourself. Fill that tub with bubbles. And then the last gift that I love is bubbles. Because I think this reminds us to play and to have fun and to not take life so seriously. To not take ourselves so seriously. So every once in a while, I think God is reminding us, play, have fun. And so I think those bubbles would remind us of that. And so what are the gifts that God wants to give to you this new year? You know, open yourself to receiving them. You know, you've just been given a brand new year, 525,600 moments of choice. But are you going to take them? Are you going to receive them? We're good at giving, not so good sometimes at receiving. So open yourself up. Sometimes, you know, we have this mindset that where we expect to not be supported. You know, that we expect, you know, things to happen or not to happen. But if you open yourself up to the universe, then Spirit will come and will give you everything you need to change that belief. So open your gift bag today. Take some time this afternoon and see what would be in your gift bag from God. This is mine. I'm sharing it with you, hoping that maybe a few of these items will touch something in you. But what is God? What are the gifts that God is wanting to give you in this new year? Now, as we set our intentions for 2011, for me, I believe that what we need to do in the month of January is to take some time to review what it is we already know. And that's why I love as a church to get back to basics, and that's why I'm going to be teaching a class as well. You know, we're going to start next Sunday on the five basic principles, a five-Sunday series, and then Wednesday the 12th, January 12th, we can go into more depth in a Wednesday night class for 5 weeks following the principles. Because I think we need to review what it is we already know. So I went to my bookshelves, which I finally got all my books out of boxes and on the shelves. And I stood in front of my bookshelf and I said, okay, God, what is it that I need to review that I already know? And a book just leapt off the shelf, literally. And it's a book that leaps off a lot for me in January. I review this every couple of years. And you may be familiar with it, The Four Agreements. By Don Miguel Ruiz. This is a book that really has meant a lot to me in my spiritual journey. And it's based on the Toltec wisdom tradition. And the subtitle is A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom. And on the back it says, based on ancient Toltec wisdom, the Four Agreements offer a powerful code of conduct that can rapidly transform our lives to a new experience of freedom, true happiness, and love. And the Toltec in the book says that the Toltec were known throughout southern Mexico as women and men of knowledge. And while it does embrace spirit, it is most accurately described as a way of life, distinguished by the ready accessibility of happiness and love. It sounds a whole lot like unity, doesn't it? And so as I began to kind of thumb through the pages of the book, I kind of laughed to myself because I thought, what a perfect way to start the new year, and what a perfect way for you and I to start our year, first year together. Because I really believe that I like to do a series when I first get to a church within the first 6 to 8 months on the four agreements and a class. So we really study it together, and we can agree that this is how we're going to show up as a spiritual community. This is how we're going to show up together and make agreements to agree to the four agreements. So you'll see me doing that in the next probably 6 months or so. But what I'd like to do today is to kind of review quickly the four agreements as we prepare to go into our white stone ceremony, because I think it's important for us to have this code of conduct that we're going to be living in for the next year, well, years of our life, but specifically, consciously, in the next year. And as we prepare to receive that gift that God, Spirit, wants to give to us. So how many of you are familiar with the four agreements? Okay. Half of you. I'm amazed. Wow, this book was written in 1997 and has been used in a lot of Unity churches quite a bit. But who knows our first agreement? Oh, be impeccable with your word. Be impeccable with your word. Every word you speak is a broadcast to the universe revealing what it is you believe. Every word reveals to the universe and everyone in it what it is you believe. Now, many of us have been programmed to put ourselves down and to put other people down. So a really good intention for this year would be to be very, very conscious of every time you say things like, I am so stupid. Now, I never get anything right. Or say that of somebody else. You know, he's so stupid. He just never does it right. You know, because every word you speak literally goes out and it changes the energy field around you. It takes what's invisible, it remolds it and forms it, and it brings it back to you. And so every word is a seed. And so every word of praise, blessing, creativity plants a beautiful garden with fabulous results. Words of criticism, limitation, negativity plant seeds that brings back more of that. And so when you're setting your intention for 2011, you might want to make this one of them. Be impeccable with your word. And when you find yourself not speaking from your higher self, you might say, oh, I want to change that. I want to change that. Because every word comes back to you and it creates. This is very important for you to know. It's our third unity principle. It's also important to know that our thoughts create. Every word is a prayer. And it either is supportive or it diminishes. It either contributes or it pollutes. And so be very clear on the power of your word. And so set your intention this year to be impeccable with your word. Second agreement is don't take anything personally. This is a toughie. I agree. This may be the biggest lesson that we all go, you know, have in 2011. It was my lesson in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, and probably way before 2005. Don't take it personally. And I know some of you are saying, oh, yeah, but if you knew what he did. Well, no, I'm sorry, there are no buts. No excuses. No buts. Don't take it personally. Now, if I were to come up to you and say, you're purple, you may go to the mirror and just check it out. And when you really knew you weren't purple, you would say, you know, you kind of just let it go. You know, and think that I was a little crazy or delusional. But you wouldn't go around saying, I'm not purple. You know, I can't believe she said I was purple after all that I've done for her. I mean, that would be, yeah, you're laughing, but we do that. Hey, you know, we often do that. You know, we go, we just have our little hissy fit. But the problem comes when you agree with something somebody says. Now, if there's a little bitty part of you that believes that you're not worthy or you're not good enough, man, this will set you off. But just realize that what people are saying to you is just what their belief system is. That's all it is. It's just their perspective, you know, on life. It's not about you. We think we're the center of the universe and everything's about us. It has nothing to do with you. You know, it's their filter they're looking through. It's their lenses to the world that they're looking through. It has nothing to do with you. It just is. But boy, do we get hooked into thinking it's about me. Listen to them. they're telling you all about themselves. And you can stand there and have tremendous compassion. And it does not have to hook you. Now, you can take the information as feedback and you can say, well, you know, is there something important here for me to look at? And if there is, look at it, take the feedback, make the change, thank the person, and then move on. If there's nothing there for you to learn, just say, they think I'm purple. And let it go. You're a beloved child of God, and you do not have to take anything personally unless you love drama. Bless you. You know, how many of you are just slightly still attached to your drama? And you'll know you're attached if you go home and you call person number one and tell them all about it. And then call person number two. And then when the first and second person are tired of listening to you, you go on to person number three. And when they say, you know, I really got to go, you call person number four. And then you might call back person number one to see if they want to hear it again. There's a loop that we get into. But when you make the commitment, when you set the intention to not take anything personally, you'll just say, they think I'm purple. Isn't that interesting? I love Terry Coe Whitaker, and it's been almost 30 years. I can't believe it. She wrote this wonderful book, and I love the title. What You Think of Me is None of My Business. What you think of me is none of my business. You know, isn't that true? It's the truth. But what I think of you makes my life what it is. So if I can be here and I can be thinking, wow, how magnificent, wonderful, and incredible human beings you are. While you're going through your drama and I'm just affirming and affirming and affirming the highest and what I know to be the truth about you, it changes my life. Because I feed myself with health and vitality and wholeness. So when somebody's going through their drama, just love them. Just bless them. Think that they're the most fabulous being on earth. Don't get hooked in. Don't get swallowed up by it. Just hold the high watch and be there for them while they're going through their stuff. And if you have people around you who agree with your drama, don't think for a minute that you're right. Well, I have 17 people who agree with me, who believe just like I do. Well, there's a spiritual principle called consciousness attracts. And if you're with people who are agreeing in less than the wholeness and goodness of God, then that's the consciousness that you're attracting from. And guess what? You'll attract that consciousness, of course. Of course. You'll be surrounded by people in your drama with you. So, Peter Russell, author, lecturer, he wrote a lot on the mind, the global mind. He says it this way, if being right is your goal, you will find error in the world and seek to correct it, but don't expect to find peace of mind. If peace of mind is your goal, then look for the errors in your beliefs and expectations. Seek to change them, not the world, and always, always be prepared to be wrong. Take a deep breath on that. So ask yourself, am I willing to be wrong, or do I have to be right? You know, I remember the first time when I first got into Unity over 35 years ago. I remember the first time I heard that, would you rather be right or happy? And I thought, how can you ever be happy if you're not right? I mean, it was not part of my consciousness. I mean, I had no idea how that could be possible. But thank God Unity saved me from that belief, you know. It pulled me out of that kind of thinking. Thank you, Unity. Saved my life. And so when you make the commitment to not take anything personally, your life will change for the better. And that's why it's so great to celebrate the birth of the divine presence within us every year at Christmas. You know, every New Year's Eve, we get to release what is no longer serving us. You know, how wonderful, we get to clean up our stinking thinking every year. And maybe if we do it enough, we'll get it finally. And we won't have anything to clean up. Wouldn't that be nice? That we wouldn't have anything any negativity, nothing. No past garbage to clean out. But we could be coming into a new year free and clear every year. You know, life is just neutral. It's neutral. Don't make assumptions. That's our third agreement. Don't assume anything. You know, it just is. It just is. If you think something in your life is unfair, unreasonable, and you're not sure, you know, why it's there, well, just go stay with it and ask God what it means. God always means everything for good. Life is basically neutral. It's nothing until you call it. And we're here to call it all good. We're here to call every experience good. And our fourth agreement before we go into the White Stone Ceremony is always do your very best. Always do your best. You know, we're not called to be perfect. Thank you, God. Finally learned that one too, along with not taking it personally. You kind of go together. But we're here to do our very best all the time. All the time. Whatever we're doing, we're here to do whatever it is with great love. And so our four agreements, let's read them together. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. And always do your best. Now, great principles to live our life by, aren't they? And so what I want to do now is to move into our White Stone Ceremony. And I want you to spend a few moments with your white stone. Does everybody have a white stone? Anybody need one? Okay. You might want to hold on to it. How many of you have ever done a White Stone Ceremony? Oh, well, okay. This is brand new for almost everybody. Just a few of you have done it. So as you hold the white stone, I just invite you to know and be aware that God is present, that God right now is getting ready to speak directly to you. I mean, always speaking to you, but we're now bringing into our awareness the idea that God is speaking to us. And the White Stone Ceremony allows us to deeply listen to Spirit. And so why do we do the White Stone Ceremony? In the book of Revelations, it says, and I'm making some commentary here. And you can be playing, Jen, that's great. In Revelations, it says, to everyone who overcomes, I will give to you some of the hidden manna, which is a special energy. I'll not only give to you all the bread that you need to eat and the sustenance for your life, but I will give to you, this is metaphysically now, the gift of understanding, to understand how it all works. And he who overcomes, I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name, a new nature. Whenever in the Bible, in the Judeo-Christian Bible, you see a new name, it means that there's a new consciousness, a new nature, and that no one knows except the one who receives it. So this is something that is very private between you and God, that God will reveal to you a new nature, a new name, a new gift, a quality that is yours to embody this year. Now, at the time of Revelations was written, Roman Empire was controlled most of the known world. And everyone who lived in the Roman Empire knew that a person who carried a white stone was a free person, a free man or a free woman. They had all the rights and the privileges of a Roman citizen, which at the time meant that you could get away with just about anything because you were protected by the legions of Roman soldiers. So when someone had been incarcerated, when they were in prison, most of them became slaves, but on occasion there would be one that would be released. And when they were released from prison, they were given a white stone, sort of like a passport. And everyone knew that the person that had the white stone, not only were they free, but no matter what nationality they were, they had all the rights and privileges of a Roman citizen, which was huge. And so when John was writing, he had this in mind. That's why he said, the person who carries the white stone is free. Free. And so as you hold this white stone, I ask you to reflect on all the moments on this for a moment on what you have overcome. You know, what beliefs, what attitudes, what habits, what addictions? What have you overcome? We've overcome lots and lots of things. And because you have overcome, Spirit wants to give you a new name, a new energy, a new vibration, a new understanding, a new gift. And so it might be mother, author, public speaker, teacher. It might be a career that you've never thought of. It might be a word that you don't even know what the meaning is. You might have to go home and look it up in a dictionary. But just be with it. You know, it could be a quality, love, joy, peace, that you, patience, integrity. I mean, something that you need to really embody this year. And so I invite you to open to the idea that Spirit wants to reveal to you a new name or a new gift as we move into our meditation now. I invite you to close your eyes and to breathe into the love in this place. And for the next few moments, we rest in the awareness that we have been made in the image and likeness of wholeness itself, known by many, many names.
This is a Sanskrit chant that utters the names, different names of the Divine Feminine. Mahadev, Lakshmi, Maria, Tara, Saraswati.
And so we rest in the awareness that we have been made in this image and likeness of the divine. And taking on a human body, we came from form and we have a purpose, a mission, an agreement that we made with the divine. And deep within your heart, you know that you are not here by accident. You have overcome so much. Allow the divine presence to give you a sacred mana, a new and deeper understanding of what you need on this great journey that you're on, what you need to fulfill the divine purpose for which you've come. Spirit wants to give you a new name, a new nature. It may come as a quality, loving kindness, enlightened. It may come as a job description, teacher, friend. It may come as a word that you may have to look up in a dictionary. But listen. Listen and ask, Holy Spirit, what name do you want me to write on the white stone? What would allow me to live at the highest level, to make the greatest contribution to the great awakening happening on planet Earth? You may be startled when you get it, but trust the Holy Spirit. Even if you don't understand it right now, hold it in consciousness. What is the name? What is the nature? Holy Spirit, that I am to embody. And just begin to let that come to mind. Let Spirit give you a new and deeper understanding of what you need on this great journey. What is it that you are to embody in this next year of 2011? What would allow you to live at the highest level? And if nothing seems to be coming to you, just send a gentle intention that you'll catch your vision perhaps later today without effort. The Holy Spirit will let you know what it wants you to know. And so be open and receptive. And don't dismiss anything. It may look impossible, it may feel impossible, but hey, you're being called to stretch. What is it that Spirit wants you to know? What is your next step for the greatest good of all? And in just a moment, I will invite you to write your word on your stone. We'll be passing out Sharpies, but in the meantime, know that you can put your white stone on your altar. Put it somewhere. You'll see it every day once you write your word on it. You may want to keep it secret, or you may choose to run up to the first chaplain and ask for prayer because it's so exciting. Behold, I make all things new. The old has passed away. Before you is a new heaven and a new earth. I invite you to join me in choosing heaven in 2011 and to help give birth to the new earth for our children and their children and their children. Let's co-create right now a world that works for everyone. A world so filled with love and wisdom, creativity and power that it leaves no one out. And so I just invite you to soften your eyes and still in this meditation energy. And our ushers are going to pass out a Sharpie at the beginning inside of each aisle, and you're going to write your word down and then pass it to the next person we're sharing. Just hold the stone as a cherished gift that's been given to you. And just wait for the Sharpie to come to you, write your word down and pass it on. If you haven't received your word yet, then continue to hold this in meditation for the rest of the day, and a word, something will come to you. Our ushers are going to be collecting the Sharpies from the outside aisle, so continue passing the Sharpie down. And as I said, you may put this on, take it home, put it on your altar or in a sacred place. You can carry it with you. This is your gift from God today. And so for this, we are grateful. We dedicate ourselves to this new and wonderful year that lies before us. Thank you, God, for revealing to us our highest good, the gift that we have come here to give to the world. We are grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's say that together. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.